Bible says we are more than conquerors. In other words, we overcome, not in and of ourselves, not in our own ability, but through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
If I'm struggling, if I'm under something, if something's got me bound, afflicted, guess what? I have opportunity to go to the one who has all power in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you lift your hands and lift your voice and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You have overcome the world, God. And by you and by your power and spirit, I have opportunity to overcome any situation, overcome any circumstance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve.
Praise the Lord. Amen, amen.
What a mighty God we serve. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of just a few things by way of announcement. Most of you have seen the display, very nice display, I might add. Wishing trees, if you will. What this is, many of you know that have children or grandchildren that are about to enter back into the school year. Our school season around here starts up in just a few weeks. If you're like my wife and I last night, we were out at Target late and picking up school supplies, trying to get everything on the list to get for the kiddos. But we need your help here as well. Many of you know we have a Sunday school department. We have a children's ministry department. And at times through the course of the year, those supplies get low. Things that the kids use, crayons, markers. Well, there's quite a few things back there listed on the tree. What we're asking you to do is just pick a couple pieces of fruit, if you will, from off the tree. On the back of those will be something that is needed, a supply that is needed. And then if you could just bring those supplies back and put them in the baskets, in the little tubs, if you will, beside the tree, that will help us restore and resupply our supply room for Sunday school. And as many of you will be out buying supplies for kids and maybe friends, loved ones, whatever, this is a good way for us to also resupply the church. So thank you. I want to say special thanks. I know they're downstairs right now, but our children's ministry department works really hard. They work really hard. There's many times I drive by this church and I see Sunday school teachers, I see Sister Connie, her vehicle, I see vehicles out on the parking lot, and I know that they are here working on their Sunday school rooms. I know that they are here putting extra time and effort because they understand it's a ministry. They understand they are dealing with the future of the church. And they hold it in such high regard that they're willing to take time and effort. Many times they spend their own money, their own finances in getting supplies and things together. And so this is a way that you can help out. This is a way that you can help us for the cause of our children's ministry. And so we thank you for that. Also at the back, you'll see there are Sheets for Christ cans. Many of you know this is just another way that you can help us raise funds for Sheets for Christ. Sheets for Christ is an offering that we collect throughout the United Pentecostal Church, and this offering goes to help our foreign missionaries, many times providing them vehicles as they travel in some pretty remote areas, rugged areas, and so they need sometimes all-terrain vehicles and things of that nature. And so the She's for Christ is basically a fundraising effort, fundraising arm of the United Pentecostal Church in order to help us provide that. There are cans back there on the table. Take a can with you. Take it home. And when you get home in the afternoon and you got change in your pocket, just reach over and drop that change right in that jar. And you'll be amazed at once, if we get a lot of people doing this, how much change we can change with change. So we thank you in that. So good to see so many in the house this morning. Dwayne, Abby, good to have you in service with us this morning. Brian, good to see you, man. Been a while. God bless you. John, good to see you there at the back. And Autumn and Cameron, God bless you for being in service with us this morning. Why don't you give these visitors, those that maybe you haven't seen, why don't you give them a hand for being in the house of the Lord this morning? God bless you for taking time out of your schedule to be here. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind to stand to your feet. It is always an honor for me to come to this pulpit, any any place where I have opportunity to preach the Word of God, I want you to know I always do so with the highest regard for the office of what God has called me to do. I appreciate this church and your response to the Word, response to what goes on around here. And Sister Darling, Grandma almost completely forgot, and I just remembered she, before we get into reading the Word, she has a testimony that she'd like to tell the church, and I'm going to give her an opportunity to do that. And while she's coming and going to give that testimony, why don't you turn to Romans chapter number 14, and I'm going to allow her to, wait a second, this doesn't look like a testimony, but.
Okay. I just want to say that I thank the Lord for all He's done in my life. And I'm thankful about 11 years ago, the Lord blessed a wonderful young couple in holy matrimony. This couple has such an impact on my life in the last few years, all of our lives. We would like to say happy anniversary to Pastor and Sister Wells. Their anniversary is. But that's not it. We have more. And we want you to know that we love and appreciate you both. If you could come up front here a little bit. I'm not shy, but I do get nervous in front of everybody. I like visual. I'm taking after my pastor. He likes pastor. Okay, so we have a little card for you. But that's not it either. We have an overnight stay in Galena, Illinois. Don't know that you've ever been there, but we have an overnight stay. Gift certificates there. And we have a babysitter lined up that you have to schedule the date. That's not it. There's more. We like more. We have gas money to get you there and back. We definitely want you back. It's only one night. We have gas money. And then while you're there, you want to have some food or spending money. So we've got you that too. And then we know how much they love their Dunkin' Donut coffee. So we got to give them a little bit of that. I'm shaking like crazy. And then we have a little basket of goodies to have along the way while you're there. And then, I'm not a singer, but I have asked Brother Billy to help me out here. Happy anniversary!
Before you took your text. I won't take much time. This is my Jubilee year. 50 years on Tuesday, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm so very thankful for His keeping power, His saving power, the miracles I've seen in my life. The constant companionship that He gives, He's the only one that can do that. I'm thankful for the trials He's brought me through, the joys He's extended in my life. And, you know, it's just an old adage, but He does get sweeter all the time. Yeah. If we can just hang on to Him and allow Him to change us and mold us into His image, He is coming so soon. And I'm so thankful for my Jubilee year this year. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much for honoring us on our anniversary. Sister Grandma, I'll get you later for telling me it was a testimony. I'll let it slide. God bless. Thank you so much. Thank you, church. Thank you for your love and appreciation, and thank you for all the wonderful gifts. And she doesn't know this, but I've been, of course, we had family in our house all this week, and life's been rather busy of late. And I was thinking to myself, man, dude, you have not gotten anything together for the anniversary. You slipped. And so thank you for saving me. God is good. God is good. you have your Bibles and you would turn with me in them to Romans chapter number 14. It always amazes me how God orchestrates the thoughts of those that are making remarks, those that are picking out songs, those that testify, as Sister Day just did. It's always amazing me how God, it really shouldn't amaze me because He's God and He does amazing things, but how that even in the midst of our fumbling and even in the midst of our going through our motions, and but God still has a way of reaching in and orchestrating, and you'll figure it out here in a little bit. Romans chapter number 14. Begin reading in verse number 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things," but I say these things, "for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things," everybody say the things, "which make for peace," and things, everybody say things, "things wherewith one may edify another." The help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject, things in the Holy Ghost. Things in the Holy Ghost. Paul, writing to the church of Rome, said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." In case you miss it, let me just start out by saying this. The power of the Holy Ghost, in the power of the Holy Ghost, is righteousness and peace and joy. If you are missing feeling right, you don't feel like you're in right standing with God. If you're missing peace in your life and you're not at peace with who you are and where you are, and you don't have joy, there's not cheerfulness, there's not happiness in your heart and in your life, I'll tell you how you can have it. These things are in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The things in the Holy Ghost. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, I thank you for all those that have gathered here, God, under the sound of my voice. And now I ask, be only but a vessel to deliver your word unto your people, God, to preach what you have imparted unto me, God, that I would bless and that I would edify, that I would encourage and strengthen those that are here this morning, that they would understand and know what they have need of, God, in order to feel righteous, in order to feel at peace and have joy in their life, is none other than in the power of the Holy Ghost. We love you, Jesus. We praise you with thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your precious name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. If you do a little reading prior to where I've read and we've taken our text, you will find that here in Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is addressing some disagreements, some disputations, the Bible says, that have risen among the brethren. Things concerning eating customs, things concerning regard for certain days and holy days. And the Apostle Paul is stressing how that they are taking time and effort and they're disputing over things that are really not a part of the kingdom of God. He said, listen, you don't judge one another according to their respect for certain days, and you don't judge one another according to their respect of what they eat. And then he goes on and he makes this statement in verse 17. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." First, as I begin to read that, I begin to think, you know, we do not well when we spend a lot of time disputing over what the kingdom of God is not. I'm going to say that again because you might have missed it. We do not well when we spend time and effort and resource disputing or arguing or disagreeing about what the kingdom of God is not. Sadly, there are some times we focus heavily upon, there are some things that we focus heavily upon that the Scripture addresses only lightly. And there are things that we shout about where the Scripture whispers. and things we whisper about when the Scripture shouts. Hang on. You say, well, it all matters. It's all important. You're exactly right. It is. Every word in the Bible, every principle, every precept is important. It's there for a reason. God has placed it in the Scriptures. This word is divinely inspired. In other words, it is God-breathed. And every man under the inspiration of God that sent down and put pen to parchment or whatever it was he used to inscribe and put it down, it was God-inspired. God is the one who divinely orchestrated and inspired this word. So it is true. It is all important. Old Testament, New Testament. I've heard people say even the maps are inspired. I won't go as far to say that, but I do understand that the Word of God is inspired. But even Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. It is all important, but might I say on the authority of God's word, there are some things that are weightier. There are some things that deserve more attention and more focus. And if we are not careful, we'll fall into the same pit that those at the church at Rome had fallen into, where they were disputing against one another as to whether they should eat this or eat that, or whether they should observe this day or observe that day. And Paul, writing, said, hey, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You're focusing, you're putting the emphasis where the emphasis doesn't belong. Taking time and effort to dispute and to argue about things that in the grand scheme, they're not the weightier matters. They're not what really deserves our attention. Now, I am not professing to know all the ins and the outs. I am on this journey the same as you. And God is still shaping me and molding me as I submit to the work of His hands. However, I've come to understand in my walk in relationship with God that there are some weightier matters that demand my attention. There are some things in the Word of God that I gotta get right. There are some weightier matters in the principles and precepts of the Word of God, and the reason why I must get these things right, and the reason why I must pay close attention and focus and emphasize these things, is because they reveal what the kingdom of God is. They show to a world lost in darkness. They shine a great light to those who sit in darkness. These things that I need to focus upon, these things that I need to have not only in my life but prevalent in my life and showing forth on a daily basis are simply righteousness and peace and joy. The Bible tells me these things are found in a specific place. Paul said the kingdom of God, while it is not meat and drink, what it is righteousness and peace and joy. Not righteousness and peace and joy that in my own I'm in right standing, or in my own mind I feel like I there's equity in me. No, not according to the way I see it, but according to the way of the Word of God reveals it. The only way I know, the only way I truly understand righteousness, and the only way I truly understand and experience peace in my life, and the only way I really have joy is in none other place than in the power of the Holy Ghost. It is in the Spirit of God living and breathing in my life, making evident that I have been born again by the Spirit, and that Spirit is exercising in me and through me righteousness and peace and joy. See, those things that we need, those things that help reveal what the power of God is and what the kingdom of God is. I draw your attention to verse number 18 of our text, for the Apostle Paul says, for he that in these things serveth Christ, what things? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where are these things? They're in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things, righteousness, peace, and joy, in the Holy Ghost, serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. He said, let us therefore follow after these things. What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where are they? I tell you, in the Holy Ghost, which make for peace and things. What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where at? In the Holy Ghost, wherewith one may edify another. I need righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost in my life, not only because it is beneficial to me, it's beneficial to everyone I come in contact with. It edifies those around about me when I'm exercising and allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be made manifest in my life, and righteousness is displayed, and peace is sought after, and joy is exemplified when I have those things working in unity in me and the power of the Holy Ghost. I am revealing the kingdom of God. Say, well, let's talk about these things, Pastor. Let's break it down. Let's talk about righteousness. If these things that we must serve Christ with, if these things which we must follow after to have peace, and if these things which are in the Holy Ghost are necessary in our lives, then what are they exactly? How do we understand, and how do we know that they're being exemplified in our life? If you look and you study that word righteousness, it simply, in its simple meaning, means to have equity, to be at right standing. You see, one cannot be righteous, have equity, or be even while being at odds. One cannot have aught against a brother or a sister and be in the Holy Ghost. I'll say that again. You cannot have aught against your brother or your sister and be in the Holy Ghost. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. If you have aught against your brother or sister, if you are at odds and there is not equity in your life, that means there is not righteousness being displayed in your life. You are not in the Holy Ghost. Preach, that's strong preaching. You better believe it, but it's the Word of God. This is how serious the Word of God is about this. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thy bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. Hey, you can't come and give me a sacrifice that is righteous, that is in right standing, if you are at odds with your brother. And so you must first go to your brother and be reconciled unto your brother before you come to me. See, it's the understanding that I, in me, when I'm trespassed against and when things happen in life, it is not in my own doing and in my own willpower to be able to try to reconcile that individual who has aught against me or done something against me. But it is in the power of the Holy Ghost that I can go to my brother and my sister and say, hey, let's be reconciled together. Forgive me if I've wronged you. Forgive me if I've done something against you. I want to have righteousness displayed in my life. I want equity in me. I want to be evil. And I can't be even if we're at odds. So the Holy Ghost in one's life, that individual who allows the power of Almighty God to help them go to their brother or their sister and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't want to be at odds. I don't want to be there anything between us. I want to clear the deck. I want to make sure there's no aught between us because I want to be in the Holy Ghost. I want to serve Christ in righteousness and peace and joy. Most miserable people in all the world are people who can't get over stuff in their life. They can't let God help them deal with it. They just eat their lunch and there's a root of bitterness which springs up. And honey, if you don't uproot bitterness and you don't allow the power of God to come in and dig that out of your life, it will ruin you. I'm going to preach it sometime, but catch this. Jesus in his writings, and I don't know the exact location, but he talks about the sycamine tree. Amazing to me that when you do a study of that sycamine tree, you will find out that the sycamine tree produces bitter fruit. And how it produces bitter fruit is it's stung. People get stung in their lives and they don't realize that now they're producing bitter fruit. There's no righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's bitter fruit, and they allow it to eat, and they begin to manifest the fruit in their life of bitterness, and they start reacting and responding in bitter ways and doing bitter things. But you listen to the voice of the preacher here this morning, you will also find that that sycamine tree, the wood of the sycamine tree, was the most popular for building coffins. Don't play with aught against your brother or your sister. You don't just sit around and let the sting produce bitterness in your life. Because if you are not careful, the thing that you allowed to eat your lunch and the thing that you refuse to allow the Holy Ghost to make right between you and your brother or you and your sister could eventually be the things that buries you. I don't know about you, but I want to be right. I want to be in right standing before God. That's why Jesus said, you say it, be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea. You know the way you kill a sycamine tree? You put it in salt water. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. You submerge it. You put it under. I tell you how you deal with the ought. I tell you how you deal with being uneven and at odds with your brother or your sister. You come under the blood of Almighty God and say, oh, wash me clean. Help me to be righteous between my brother and my sister. It's a state of being right. Jesus said this. Say, how do I know if I'm right? How do I know? How am I to learn what it means to be right? How do I know the difference between right and wrong? How do I know if I'm responding right? How do I know if I'm in right standing? What is the way this happens, preacher? I want to be righteous, but how? How do I know what righteous is? How do I know what living right is? John 14:26, Jesus said this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. How do I know what's right? It's not just by reading the Word of God, but it's by reading the Word of God with the power of the Holy Ghost in me so that it guides my thoughts and it directs me. How many people have been led astray because they thought they could rightfully discern the Word of God without the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? You cannot rightly divide the Word of truth without the Spirit of God in you. So how do I know that? I'll tell you how I know it. I know it by the Word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. The things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Listen, I'm just going to be putting out there. It's Bible. I can't truly disseminate and deliver truth without the power of the Holy Ghost. Why in the world would I sit under a preacher or a teacher who does not have the power of the Holy Ghost in their life? They can't properly disseminate. They can't properly divide the word of truth. They can't properly give it unto me. Why? Because there are some things only the Spirit of God reveals. And without the Spirit of God, you're just going to make a mess of things. Without the Spirit of God leading and guiding into all truth and teaching you, you're going to teach someone else wrong. Not in man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's a lot of people that worry about a lot of things. They spend a lot of time disputing and arguing over things that are really not the kingdom of God. And the reason why is because they don't understand what is the kingdom of God and what is not the kingdom of God. And when I rightly discern what is the kingdom of God, it is only through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, we cannot know what is right but by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it again. We cannot know what is right but by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not only that, peace. All right. No, righteousness means in right standing, having equity. I don't want odds, be at odds against my brother and my sister. I want to be in right standing before God. And how I know that is by the power of the Holy Ghost teaching me and leading me and guiding me. And is it a process? Yes. Is the Holy Ghost still teaching me? Oh, yes. Am I still learning? Oh, yes. Am I still in the process? Oh, yes. Is God still molding and making me and shaping me? Oh, yes. Still in the process, but I need to understand who the teacher is. The teacher is the power of the Holy Ghost. And the more I submit to the power of the Holy Ghost, the more right decisions I make. What about peace, Pastor? I want peace. Well, I do too. But I want peace with God and peace with man. He said it Wednesday night. The first four commandments, the Ten Commandments, deal with my relationship to God. The next six deal with my relationship to man. It's peace with God and peace with man. And both of these things, peace with God and peace with man, come through Jesus Christ. Come through His sacrifice that He made. How do I know that? Isaiah 53, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. What does that word mean? What does that chastisement word literally mean? I'll tell you what it literally means is correction. The correction of our peace. Because guess what? Outside of Jesus Christ, we are not at peace with God. And outside of Jesus Christ, we cannot be at peace with our fellow man. How do I know that? Because Jesus, the Bible says, as they lied and they made accusations and as they spit upon Him and as they hit Him and they mocked Him, the Bible said, opened He not His mouth. Why? Because the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Not only our peace with God, but our peace with fellow man. And Jesus took upon Himself, and He was forsaken by all. He even looked heavenward and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. So it's only through Jesus Christ that I have an opportunity. It's only through His power and His Spirit that I have opportunity to have peace. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See how it all intertwines? You see how it all, the Lord is always revealing the circle effect, how it all is in communion with one another. And I can't be righteous and I can't be at peace without the power of the Holy Ghost working in my life, removing the roots of bitterness, helping me not to have aught against my brother or sister, teaching me what it is to be holy and live holy. It's this circle thing that happens when I'm born again into the Spirit, the Holy Ghost teaching me, the Holy Ghost instructing me, telling me what's right and what's wrong as I look into the Word of God. Also, joy. missing some joy in your life. Want to be cheerful, want to be happy, want to feel well, want to feel in right standing, at peace with God and man. In that peace and in that righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ, have a joy that says, I'm so thankful that I live this life. I'm so thankful that I have opportunity to serve God. I'm so thankful. Because in these things that are in the Holy Ghost, in righteousness and peace and joy, that's how I live. You say, well, Pastor, are you smiling all the time? No, I'm not. Do you have struggles? Yes, I do. Get angry? Yes, I do. Do you deal with your flesh just like I deal with my flesh? Yes, I do. Do you make mistakes? Yes, I do. It's the understanding that in the power of the Holy Ghost, I can get back in the circle and that thing can continue on in my life. And I can still perpetuate the process. And though I may fall, and though I may falter, and though I may stumble, I can get right back up in the mix and say, oh, I need more righteousness and peace and joy in my life. And so before long, as I'm in the Holy Ghost, I do begin to smile despite the circumstances and situations of my life. Better testimony can someone give than to be going through hell and still manifest the attributes of heaven? What better testimony can somebody give about the power of the Holy Ghost in their life than to be going through hell but still manifesting the attributes of heaven? Oh, that brother's going through this, yeah. But you see, he's still smiling. You see, he's still praising. You see, he's still coming to church and he's still praying. Oh, I got to have what he has. I got to have that stability in my life. How does it happen, Pastor? I'll tell you how it happens. In the power of the Holy Ghost. Because if I start depending on me and I start depending on my own mindset and I start depending upon my own perception, I'll get down in the mully grubs. I'll start getting depressed and anxious. But oh, when I get in the presence of God and I get back in the circle of righteousness, peace and joy, all of a sudden I'm anxious for nothing. I just enjoy being in the presence of God. Preacher, that's what I want in my life. That's what I want to experience. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I need. I'll tell you where it's at. It's in the power of the Holy Ghost. What we need, what this world needs, we don't need more intellect. We don't need no more technology. We don't need new laws. I tell you what we need. We need the power of the Holy Ghost working and moving in the heart of men, because it will produce righteousness. It will produce peace. And it will produce joy. I will give you the answer to every problem. I will give you the one thing that will solve it all. I will give you the one thing that will make all the difference in all the world if people would just abide. And I tell you, if you and I abide in the Holy Ghost, I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. And preacher, you guys get hung up, man. You preach and you talk and you spit and slobber and scream and shout. All this Holy Ghost stuff. I don't get it. I'll tell you why. Because if I serve Christ in these things, then I am accepted of God. And I am approved of men. It's no wonder that even on a secular scale, how many people, hopefully, still, if they find out that you're a professing Christian And you're not just professing it, but you're living it. Say that again. I just say, oh, I'm a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? How do I rightly divide what it means to be a Christian? I just say I'm a Christian and that identifies me? No. Something in the Word of God reveals what it means to be Christ-like. So if I'm truly going to be a Christian, and I'm truly going to manifest righteousness, peace, and joy, guess what? People are going to want to attach themselves to me. I'll not only be accepted of God, I'll be approved of men. Because guess what? If I'm manifesting righteousness, peace, and joy in my life, they're going to know they can trust me. They're going to know I'm going to be there to support them and help them and strengthen them. I'm not there to find reason. I'm not there to find accusation against them. I'm there to love them. I'm there for righteousness and peace and joy. That's why the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. How am I an effective witness, Pastor? How do I show? I'll tell you how I show. Righteousness, peace, and joy. These things are in the Holy Ghost. That's why you shout and scream, slobber and spit, and preach about the Holy Ghost. Because it's the answer. It's the answer. It's the answer. Looking for an answer? I tell you, it's here. In the power of the Holy Ghost. Huh. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You want righteousness in your life? You want to be in right standing? You want to feel the Pastor? I've never felt like I'm right. It's always been something inside of me that says something's not even. It's not equity. When I think of eternity, I don't feel like I'm in right standing. How do I correct that? Well, here's a secret. You don't. It's the power of the Holy Ghost working in you as you submit to it that does. It's the Spirit. The same Spirit which came to the upper room on the day of Pentecost. As they began to pray and they began to seek God, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. See, that's why I teach and preach and would continue to do so. And if you're tired of hearing about the Holy Ghost, well, I'm sorry, you'll probably hear about it again. Because it's where I have to serve Christ. It's in that circle of righteousness and peace and joy. It's in those things that are in the Holy Ghost where I am accepted of God and approved of men. It's in those things whereby I edify each other. That's why when we come together, there needs to be righteousness and peace and joy in our midst so that others can say, wait, what I feel in that place, what I see going on in their lives, that's what I want for me. Good, I'll tell you how it happens. It happens in the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's here this morning to fill you. It's here this morning to thrill you. Whatever you have need of, I'll tell you the answer is in the power of the Holy Ghost. If you want righteousness, joy and peace in your life, seek after the presence of God. If you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost but you've been struggling, there's bitterness in your life, there's not righteousness, there's not equity, I tell you, you can get back in this circle today. You can repent and say, God, forgive me, I've leaned on my own understanding, I've tried to follow my own thoughts and it's led me astray. God, help me get back in the circle of righteousness and peace and joy, that I would leave here different than the way I came. whether it's your first time, whether it's your thousandth time, I don't care. But if there's anyone here this morning that says, that's what I want, preacher, that's what I want in my life, I want you to know these altars are open. There's people here that will pray with you. There's people here that know what I'm saying is the gospel truth, that it's only in the power of the Holy Ghost that any of us continue to walk this walk, that any of us manifest righteousness and peace and joy. It's in the power of the Holy Ghost as they begin to sing and play. Why don't you respond to the Lord wherever you are? If you feel comfortable doing so where you are, reach out unto God right now. I need you, Jesus. I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I come before you in repentance, realizing I can't do it on my own. I don't have the power in and of myself.
No other refuge that I know.
Righteousness, there's peace, there's joy, it's available. These things are in the Holy Ghost. These things are in the power of Almighty God, and that same power which raised up Christ from the dead can dwell in you and quicken your mortal bodies, giving you the power to operate in righteousness, to operate in peace, and to operate in joy. With joy shall you draw well from the water of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. With joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. It's here this morning. God wants to put a smile on your face. God wants to put a feeling in your heart that lets you know I'm in right standing with Him. I have peace with God and with man, for the chastisement of the peace was upon Jesus Christ.
You are the lifter of my soul, my joy in the Holy Ghost. No other
Pastor, I'm thankful I'm in the process.
That I know.
I'm thankful that I'm experiencing more righteousness and more peace and more joy. That's what I strive for. That's what I seek after. I seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? I tell you, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Seek that. Strive for that. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so does my soul after thee, O Lord. I need righteousness and peace and joy.
That I know. You are the lifter of my soul. You are the lifter of my soul. My joy in the Holy Ghost. No other refuge that I know. You are the You are the lifter,
oh, Jesus.
You are the lifter of my soul.
Pastor, my head's been hanging low of late.
You are the lifter.
I've been dealing with depression and anxiety.
Of my soul.
I've been dealing with thoughts I don't even want to talk about.
The Holy Ghost.
Been dealing with some issues.
No.
The outlook for me is not all that good. I can't think positively. I'm thinking negatively about everything. My head's been hanging down, and I'm weary with not feeling well. Can it be corrected? Yes. Can my head be lifted? Yes. Can my thoughts turn from the negative to the positive? Yes. I'll tell you how. In the power of the Holy Ghost, there's righteousness and peace and joy. He can lift your head. He can lift your
spirits. You are the lifter of my soul. You are the lifter of my soul. My joy is the Holy Ghost.
There's
no
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I can only tell you of my experience. Choosing to live a life with Christ hasn't always been easy. There's been struggles. There will be struggles. But I would offer you the words of the song, which maybe express it best. It's a journey. It's learning about righteousness and peace and joy. But I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tries to tempt me and turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth, the worldly fame. But if I could, still I would take nothing from my journey now. I know it's not correct grammar, but you need to know. This life I found in the circle of righteousness and peace and joy. It's leading me to my home. It's guiding me on this way that I must walk by faith and not by sight. But I know. I'm assured, I'm persuaded that in the end, in that final destination, catch this, Jesus says this, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Even right now, in this life, I'm experiencing a little piece of heaven here on earth. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But one of these days, all the effects of sin and everything, this life and all the struggles, it will all be over. And I'm going to be forever with my Lord. I am going to enjoy pleasures forevermore in the joy of the Lord. And how I get there and how I make it, it's by staying in the process of righteousness and peace and joy. Where are these things at? Well, if you haven't heard it, they're in the Holy Ghost. And that promise is for you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. It's available to you. Can you thank the Lord for His words? Can you thank the Lord for the encouragement that you feel in the house? You don't have to leave here bound, depressed, tormented. You don't have to leave here with your head hanging down. You don't have to leave here with sorrow in your heart. Heaviness upon you. You can come to Jesus. All you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on, I've got something for you. I know you think all you've got's trash, and I know you look at yourself and say, wow, what have I done with my life? How can I start anew and make things different? I'll tell you, in Jesus Christ, and He'll take your spirit of heaviness, and He'll give you a garment of praise. Take your depression, your anxiety, your worry, and He'll return unto you righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful you are. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you. Can we sing this just a few times?
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, praise.
Pastor, I feel what you're talking about. I've never felt this, what I'm feeling right now. What is it? I don't really know how to respond. I don't know what to do with what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing right now. It's okay. Enjoy the journey. There's righteousness and peace. The joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the presence of Almighty God. That's what He offers unto you and I. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's a peace sweeping over me. I don't ever recall having this feeling before. I don't ever recall feeling this peace that I feel. Jesus said, my peace I leave, my peace I give, not as the world give it. Give I unto thee. This peace is in thee. God is still dealing with hearts. I don't want to rush past this. Have your will, Lord. Have your will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel you need to go, you may go. Please be respectful of those that are still responding around the altars and praying. God bless you.